You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast, March 28th, 2021.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
Hey everyone, you're invited to Harpy Hour!
I'm Tracy.
I'm Liz.
I'm Steph.
We are the Harpies, and Harpy Hour is our new podcast featuring ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
Were you ever suspicious that pigeons were secretly spying on you?
How do you know who to eat first if you survive a shipwreck?
Do problematic musicals send you into an uncontrollable rage?
If so, then Harpy Hour might be your new favorite podcast. That's H-A-R-P-Y for Harpy, and new episodes air every Tuesday wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can also find us on all social media at Harpy Hour Pod.
And check us out on HarpyHourPodcast.com.
Okay, bye!
Hey, this is Matt.
And Jesse.
We host American Slacker Podcast, your weekly rundown for weird news, entertainment suggestions, and unique games.
Every other week, we bring on guests from all walks of life, like comedian Mark Forward of Letterkenny.
Yeah, we just call it tuna up here. We're pretty clear that it's a fish.
And actor Brandon Crane of Stephen King's It.
Because a lot of the work that I did, like Wonder Years to It, they were all very, you know, period 50s, 60s, and, you know, Chucks were all the rage.
And Art the Clown from Terrifier, David Howard Thornton.
They also had to make a mold of my face while I was there, so that was kind of claustrophobic in itself.
Musician Dan Simons of Just Surrender.
First time ever going on a tour, you remember every stop.
And Nick Thompson of Hit the Lights.
All the stuff that I think that people go through life, and it's just like my outlet for that.
And listen to our show on your favorite podcast app.
New episodes every Wednesday. Visit our website, aspodcast.com, for everything American Slacker.
That's it.
There you go.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Forgotten News Podcast.
This is Jim.
This is Kit Karen.
And this is Jessica.
Hi, listeners. We are really excited to bring you this episode. First, because we promised to release two episodes in March, and ta-da! You are now listening to the second one.
But it's going to be a little unusual.
And you might have to listen a little closely.
Now, as you know, this podcast occasionally likes to use stories from old-time radio shows as sort of a time machine to tell about true crime stories and other things that we think might be of interest to our audience.
And on this episode, we are going to feature a story from a radio show called The Big Story. This was a program that told dramatized versions of true crime stories, in which a newspaper reporter was at the center of the story, in one way or another. The show ran on the NBC radio network between 1947 and 1955.
The program awarded a $500 prize to any reporter whose story was featured on the show. This amount is the equivalent of approximately $5,000 to $6,000 in the present day.
And on this episode of our podcast, we are featuring an episode of The Big Story that revolves around a woman named Dorothy Kilgallen when she was a reporter for the New York Journal American, which was then a major daily newspaper in the city of New York. Now, at this point, we think we should mention that one of our main reasons for choosing this particular story is because March is Women's History Month, and Dorothy Kilgallen was probably the most famous woman to work as a reporter and news commentator from the 1940s, right up until the time of her death in 1965.
This episode of The Big Story, revolving around Dorothy Kilgallen, is from October 15th, 1947, and is called The Bobby Sox Kid from Bayonne. However, the specific incident that is dramatized on the episode is from very early in her career as a news reporter.
Now, before we go any further, we want to clarify the title of the episode. The term Bobby Soxer was a slang phrase in the 1940s for teen girls who were followers of youth-oriented fads and pop culture at the time, especially singers and bands. For example, the fans of young singing star Frank Sinatra were almost always called Bobby Soxers. It was also slang for teen girls who were described as quote-unquote boy crazy. Now, I definitely would have been one of those back in the 1940s. The term Bobby Soxer came from the fact that they tended to wear ankle-length socks, which were nicknamed Bobby Socks. But, ironically, the exact origin of the phrase Bobby Socks in regard to cloth footwear seems to be unknown.
Now, on that note, we will give a short warning because we don't want you to be unexpectedly shocked or emotionally triggered by anything in this 1947 story. First, just for historical value, we have not removed the commercials that are for Pall Mall Cigarettes, which was then the sponsor of the show. We deeply apologize to anyone who is offended or emotionally distressed by these advertisements, which we personally urge you to ignore to the best of your ability. In fact, in this context, we will now specifically say, don't smoke. Seriously, everyone, we want our listeners to be healthy and alive, so don't smoke.
Now, with that being said, let's tell you a little bit about the story. And the first thing that I will tell you is, things get pretty dark, and pretty fast.
The episode revolves around a teenage girl, her boyfriend, and the murder of her mother. And for that reason, you probably don't want any children to be listening, because some things might be upsetting or scary to young ears. So maybe put on your headphones or earbuds. But if you don't have any right now, then perhaps listen later when your little ones aren't around. Parental discretion is advised.
So, listeners, You have been warned.
I will add, at this point, just as a side note, that the audio quality is very good. Surprisingly good for a show that was recorded almost 75 years ago. In fact, it has better audio quality than some well-known podcasts that I could mention.
And with all of that having been said,
on with the show!
Listeners, we will now present in full the October 15th, 1947 episode of the radio program The Big Story, The Bobby Sox Kid from Bayonne.
Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes present The Big Story.
Look, for the last time, Janet, did you murder your mother?
No, Lieutenant Morgan, I didn't.
Then who did?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Is that all you can say?
I don't know.
Oh, it beats me. I never did meet a stubborn kid like you before. Oh, well, I might as well send in the police matron.
Oh, Lieutenant Morgan.
Yeah?
Will you ask the matron to bring in some needle and thread?
Needle and thread?
Yeah, I've got a hole in one of my Bobby socks, and it looks like the Dickens.
The Big Story, another in a thrilling series based on true experiences of newspaper reporters. Tonight, to Dorothy Kilgallen of the New York Journal-American, goes the Pall Mall Award for The Big Story. Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding. The cigarette in the distinguished red package, Pall Mall.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed how many of your friends have changed to Pall Mall? There's a reason. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes.
Good to look at.
Good to feel.
Good to taste.
And good to smoke.
Yes, Pall Malls are good to look at, good to feel, good to taste, and good to smoke. For Pall Mall's greater length filters the smoke naturally through the much greater distance of Pall Mall's traditionally fine, mellow tobaccos, giving you a smoother, mellower, more satisfying smoke.
Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding.
Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild.
Now the strange and authentic story of the Bobby Sox Kid from Bayonne.
Dorothy Kilgallen, covering the police beat for the New York Evening Journal before he became the Journal American, and before you became a big byline with the Broadway column. It's one of those sticky and sultry July evenings, just about midnight, when you finally get back to the office from Jersey. You're so tired you see spots before your eyes, and so hot your clothes stick damply to your skin. You make a beeline for the water cooler. And there you run into the night editor.
Hey, Dorothy, go easy on that ice water. Want to get a chill?
I'll take that chill, Al, just as long as it's good and cold. What a session I just had in Jersey City.
You sure look all in.
I am. 2 days and two nights without sleep. Waiting in a sizzling hot room for a jury to make up its mind. Al, it was awful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll bet it was. Look, Dorothy.
Now, I've just got one big ambition in life. I'm going home and stand under a cold shower for about an hour and then fall into bed.
Dorothy, I hate to be a killjoy, but I've got to send you out on another assignment.
You mean now?
Right away, to Bayonne, New Jersey. Just got a flash that a woman was murdered out there. And the cops think the woman's daughter and a boyfriend did the job. They're grilling the kids at headquarters now. I'll go out there and see what you can pick up. It's all yours.
How was this Mrs. Graham murdered, Sergeant Gillis?
With a hatchet, Miss Kilgallen.
Oh, but that sounds like the work of a maniac. You mean you suspect a couple of kids?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem possible. Especially kids like these.
Where's Mrs. Graham's daughter now?
She's with Lieutenant Morgan in that room over there. Mm. He's been grilling her for hours, but she won't talk. Neither will her boyfriend.
Mm. Where'd you pick up the kids, Sergeant?
In a beer joint near the Somerville Circle. Oh, here comes Morgan now. Any luck, Lieutenant?
Oh, no. The more questions I ask her, the tighter she clams up. You know, I've had some tough crooks on the grill, but this kid beats them all. Oh, hello, Miss Kilgallen.
Hello, Lieutenant. Got anything I can use for a story?
Oh, not a thing, Miss Kilgallen. And that's the truth. Frankly, we're pretty well up against a stone wall. Now, what can you do when a cute-looking 17-year-old kid just sits there and swings her legs and looks at you with a sweet face and says, I don't know.
She won't say anything?
I've tried everything. Talk to her like a Dutch uncle, like a father, like a cop, like a mug even. But it's no go. I don't know, she says. Just like that. I don't know.
Lieutenant Morgan.
Yeah?
Mind if I go into that room and talk to Janet Graham alone?
Now, what good will that do?
I don't know that it'll do any good. But I just might come up with something, you know, just between us girls. How about it?
Now, look, Miss Kilgallen, all the other reporters are going home. Why don't you go, too? She won't crack. Believe me, I know all the tricks and I've used them all. She just won't crack.
Would you let me talk to her?
Oh, it's too hot to argue. Oh, go ahead. But believe me, you're wasting your time. We've had our best men working on that kid, and she just won't talk.
Hi, Janet.
Who are you?
My name's Dorothy Kilgallen. I'm a reporter.
Reporter? Honest?
Honest. I thought I'd just drop in for a chat.
Oh. Well, you're not going to find anything out from me. I don't know anything.
Well, maybe you don't, but I do.
You do? What?
You look like a sight. Your hair's every which way and your nose is shiny.
Well, gosh, Miss Kilgallen, what can I do? I left my compact in Charlie's jalopy when they picked us up.
Well, he wouldn't like you the way you look now.
Gee, is it that bad?
Here, take my compact.
Oh, thanks, Miss Kilgallen. Gee, this is just super. Is it real gold?
Yeah.
I've got one in silver. It's shaped like a heart. And it's got initials on it. C.M.
C.M.? Who's that?
Charlie Mason. He gave it to me for my birthday. He's my boyfriend. We've been going steady for a year.
Is he nice?
Oh, he's just super, Miss Kilgallen.
Tell me about him.
Gee, you really want me to?
Of course.
Well, he's star athlete at Bayonne High, and he's a whiz at tennis. Beats me 6-love every time, and I'm supposed to be pretty good for a girl. Oh, here's your compact pack.
Oh, thanks. Feel better?
Oh, yes, lots. You use the same color powder I do.
Janet, I suppose you and Charlie, you know that you're in a mess of trouble.
Yeah, I guess we are.
Why don't you tell them what they want to know?
I won't. I won't tell them a thing. I hate them.
Then maybe you tell me.
You?
Yes. You know, it's different when you tell everything to a woman. A woman sort of understands.
Well, gee, you're nice, Miss Kilgallen, but...
But what, Janet? You love Charlie, don't you?
You know that?
Of course. Why shouldn't you?
Golly, you do understand, don't you?
Yes, I think so.
That's the trouble with them. The police, I mean. They don't know how it was with Charlie and me. Mother didn't either. She
what, Janet?
Nothing.
All right, if you don't want to tell me anything, Janet, I guess I'll have to go.
Oh, no, I... Please stay.
Then what about your mother?
She hated Charlie. She wouldn't even let him come into the house.
Did she know you loved him?
I kept telling her that. Honest, Miss Kilgallen, I kept telling her. That's why we argued.
Argued about what?
It was this afternoon. Mother wanted me to do some work around the house, but I skipped out to meet Charlie.
Where'd you meet him, Janet?
The church.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the choir, you know, and they were having choir practice. The door was open, and I went in. Charlie was singing a solo, and I listened. It was wonderful, Miss Kilgallen. Listening to Charlie was... Well, it was like going to heaven. I was just thrilled. I wanted to reach up and touch him, but I didn't. I just sat there and listened. After that, well, I guess I kind of walked on air. I met Charlie outside the church. We had a tennis date at 6 o'clock, but before that I had to go to the delicatessen and buy some cold cuts for supper. On the way to the delicatessen, I kind of took Charlie's hand and held it. Just holding his hand like that thrilled me, but... Well, Charlie... Well, you know how boys are, Miss Kilgallen. He was kind of bashful.
Jen.
Yes, Charlie?
Quit holding my hand. Everybody on the street's looking at us.
Don't you love me?
Well, sure I do, Cookie. You know that, but...
How about coming to my house for supper tonight?
Oh, gee, I can't do that, Janet. What would your mother say?
I don't care what Mother says. She's not going to boss me around anymore. We'll just tell her we're in love and that we're going to get married just as soon as you can get a job singing on the radio.
Well, I don't know.
Don't you love me, Charlie?
Sure, Cookie. I told you I did.
Well, then we don't have to be afraid of Mother or anyone else. Oh, here's the delicatessen.
Well, good afternoon, Janet.
Hello, Mr. Schmidt.
What'll it be today?
I'll have a quarter of a pound of ham.
Ham?
Quarter of a pound of liverwurst.
Liverwurst?
20 cents worth of potato salad.
Potato salad?
And, oh, Mr. Schmidt.
Yeah?
Mother will kill me for this, but I don't care. I want a jar of mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah, I'm just wacky about mayonnaise. And this time, I don't give a darn what my mother says.
So you left the delicatessen store and went right home. Is that it, Janet?
Well, no, not exactly, Miss Kilgallen. You know how hot it was today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Charlie and I stopped in a tavern, and we had 2 glasses of beer each and some pretzels. Beer was super, it being so hot outside and all. After that, we went to my house. Funny how I felt then.
How did you feel?
Well, I don't know why I'm telling you all this.
How did you feel, Janet?
Well, it was so hot, and I was kind of dizzy and thrilled because Charlie was going with me, and we were going to stand up to Mother. You know, Miss Kilgallen, how it is when you're all thrilled and excited.
Oh, sure, I know. Well, what happened when you got home?
Well, Mother was out.
I see. What did you and Charlie do then?
Oh... Charlie read a magazine, and I kind of did a little housework.
Janet.
Yes, Miss Kilgallen?
You're not telling me the truth. What's the use of talking to me if you don't tell me the truth? Now, what really happened when you and Charlie came home and found that your mother was out? Don't be afraid, Janet. I'll understand. But you've got to tell me the truth.
All right. All right, I will. We were... both a little dizzy, I guess. You know, we kept saying things to each other. Then all of a sudden I felt like dancing, so I put on a record of our song.
Your song?
Yes, Temptation. It's my favorite, and Charlie's, too. We call it our song. Anyway, I felt like dancing, so I put the record on the Victrola. And then... Charlie?
Yeah?
Let's dance.
Dance?
Yes. Take me in your arms, Charlie.
But what if your mother comes in and sees us?
I don't care. Do you?
No. No, I guess not.
Charlie, let's stop dancing now. Let's sit down.
Sit down?
Yes. Kiss me, Charlie. Please.
We'll be back in just a moment with tonight's big story, but first a word from Cy Harris.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed how many of your friends have changed to Pall Mall?
Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Good to look at.
Good to feel.
Good to taste.
And good to smoke.
Yes, Pall Malls are good, 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 and good. Good to look at, good to feel, good to taste, and good to smoke. For Pall Mall's greater length filters the smoke naturally through the much greater distance of Pall Mall's traditionally fine, mellow tobaccos, giving you a smoother, mellower, more satisfying smoke.
Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding.
Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild. Now we return you to our narrator, Barry Kroger, and tonight's big story.
The Bobby Sox kid from Bayonne keeps talking there in that sweltering, dingy police room. The words spill from her faster and faster. You can see that she wants to talk now. She's glad to get it off her chest. It's been simmering and boiling inside. Finally, she stops to catch her breath. And you ask her...
Now, when your mother walked into the parlor and found you and Charlie there, what did she say, Janet?
Mother just stood there, Miss Kilgallen. She stood there looking as though she'd like to kill the both of us. And the Victrola kept on playing Temptation. I don't remember who spoke first. I think it was Charlie.
Mrs. Graham, I...
Turn off the Victrola, Janet.
Oh, Mother, we were just...
I said turn off the Victrola.
Yes, Mother.
Now, Janet, go into the kitchen. I want to talk to you alone.
But Mrs. Graham, she didn't do anything.
I'll thank you to keep still. You just sit right here. I'll have something to say to you later. Janet, you march right into the kitchen.
And what happened after you got into the kitchen, Janet? Janet, what happened?
Well, Miss Kilgallen, Mother didn't say anything for a long time. She just started to get the dishes out for supper. I was nervous and scared. Well, there was the heat, too. It was so hot, it did funny things to me. I thought maybe if I did something with my hands instead of just standing there waiting for Mother to say something, it'd be better. I could think better. And then I saw the hatchet on the windowsill.
What was the hatchet doing there?
I'd brought it up from the cellar.
Why did you bring it up?
Because Mother had asked me to nail down some loose linoleum on the kitchen floor. So I got some tacks and started to hammer it down. Then Mother started to talk.
I don't know. I just don't know. What did I ever do to deserve a daughter like you? A common, cheap little flirt.
Mother, don't say things like that. All Charlie did was kiss me.
I don't want to hear another word from you, Janet Graham. Not another single solitary word. When your father comes home, I'll see that he takes the strap to you, you little good-for-nothing.
Mother, please, I...
17 years old, a baby, and sitting on the couch hugging and kissing a nasty boy like Charlie Mason.
I'm no baby, do you hear, Mother? I'm 17, I'm grown up, and I love Charlie Mason.
You. What do you know about love? You're just boy crazy, that's all. Boy crazy.
Mother, don't say things like that.
Boy crazy, boy crazy, boy crazy.
Please, Mother, don't.
I forbid you to ever see him again. I positively forbid you to see him again. Do you hear me, Janet? You're not to see him again.
You can't stop me. You can't stop me. I'll see Charlie all I please. I love him. I love him. I love him.
Don't you dare talk back to me. Don't you dare.
Mother, please, let's not quarrel anymore. It's so hot, and I've got such a terrible headache, and I'm so mixed up.
I warn you, Janet. If I ever catch that awful boy around here again, I'll have your father horsewhipped.
Mother, don't say things like that. Please, stop.
I don't like him, and I never did. He's no good, and he'll never be any good.
Mother, stop!
Don't you yell at me, you young good-for-nothing.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
How dare you talk back to your own mother like that? How dare you?
Janet.
I asked you to stop. I asked you to stop nagging.
Janet, put down that hatchet. Put down that... Charlie!
You're not going to stand between Charlie and me. You're not going to. Is she, Charlie?
Janet, don't. Charlie, no! Get away from me! Please! No, Janet! No!
You listen in horror as Janet Graham tells you what happened then. You listen, and there's an all-gone feeling in the pit of your stomach as you watch this sweet-faced kid in the bobby socks dangling her tanned legs under the bench and calmly telling you...
I hit Mother then, Miss Kilgallen. She screamed and fell down. That's all.
I see. What did you do then, Janet?
Well, then we thought we'd better talk things over.
You and Charlie?
Yes. Charlie's jalopy was outside, and we decided we'd better drive to Canada because they'd be looking for us pretty soon. We didn't have much money, so we started to make up sandwiches in the kitchen for our trip. And then all of a sudden, the doorbell rang.
Janet. Janet, someone's at the front door.
You keep making up those chicken and ham sandwiches here in the kitchen, Charlie. I'll see who it is.
All right. Gee, I hope it isn't the police or someone.
Oh, Janet. Janet, is anything wrong?
Wrong? I know, Mrs. Wallace. What makes you think so?
Well, I was sitting on my front porch next door, and I thought I heard your mother scream.
Oh, that. Well, Mother just cut her finger, that's all, Mrs. Wallace.
Oh, for a moment I thought that... Nothing serious, is it, Janet?
Oh, no, Mrs. Wallace. Just a nick. Nothing to worry about.
Oh, thank heaven for that. That scream certainly gave me a fright. Well, I'll be getting back, Janet.
Well, thanks for looking in, Mrs. Wallace.
Who was it, Janet?
Nobody. Just a neighbor. Oh, Charlie.
Yeah. What's the matter?
You forgot something.
Forgot something?
Yes, on those chicken sandwiches you're making. The mayonnaise. You know I just love mayonnaise.
Is that all, Janet?
Well, Miss Kilgallen, I guess so. Except that we started out for Canada.
And you got as far as the Somerville Circle, hmm?
Yes. It was awful hot driving this evening. Well, we stopped at a tavern for a couple of glasses of beer, and by that time, Charlie was pretty worried.
Gosh, Janet. We're in an awful jam now.
I don't care. I don't care about anything. I love you, Charlie.
We'll never be able to make Canada. Why, all I've got is $1.40.
You're awful cute, Charlie. Awful cute.
Janet, maybe we ought to give ourselves up.
I love your hair, Charlie. It's so thick and nice. I always feel like running my fingers through it.
Janet, we got to decide what to do.
Charlie?
Yeah?
Play number 7 on the jukebox.
But look, Cookie,
play number 7. It's our song, Charlie. Temptation.
Okay.
Our song. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it just super?
Yeah. Listen, Janet, about your mother, about what we did.
Oh, don't talk about that now. Don't let's talk about anything now. Let's just sit here and listen and dream.
Janet. Janet, a cop. He just came in. Oh, he's seen us, Janet. He's coming over to our booth.
Is that your tan coupe outside, son?
Yes, sir.
Your name Charlie Mason?
Yes, sir.
And you're Janet Graham?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you kids, you better come along with me.
All right, officer, we'll go with you, only...
Yeah?
Do you mind if we wait till the music's over?
And that's the whole story, Janet.
Yes, Miss Kilgallen. That's all there is. Now you know everything. Funny, I didn't mind telling you. I knew you'd understand. You do, don't you?
Yes, I understand, Janet. But now, will you tell the others what you told me?
I don't want to.
I know. But I think you'd better.
All right, Miss Kilgallen. If you say so, I'll tell them.
Well, I have to go now.
You can't stay with me any longer?
No, I can't.
Oh. Well, goodbye, Miss Kilgallen.
Goodbye, Janet.
A full house beats two pair any day. Oh, hello, Miss Kilgallen. How'd you make out?
Didn't get anything out of the kid, I'll bet.
Yes, I did.
You did? Hey, that really puts me in my place. All of us trying and not getting a glimmer. What's the lead?
She told me everything.
Everything? Are you serious?
You mean you got that kid to
she
crack?
She told me everything.
Well, who did it? She or the boy? Did she kill
yes,
the old lady?
Yes, she did it, but it didn't have to happen. It shouldn't have happened. If her mother had only shown a little more understanding, just a little more sympathy and love. Oh, what's the use? What difference does it make now?
Yeah, I know. Now, take it easy, Miss Kilgallen. You're pretty well used up. You did a big job in there, and it kind of gets you down.
I guess so.
Look at the exclusive you got. It's a big story, if there ever was one. And all due to you.
Yes. It's a big story, Lieutenant. But do you want to know something?
What?
I wish I'd never heard of it. I wish I never had to write it. I wish it had never happened.
In just a moment, we'll read you a telegram from Dorothy Kilgallen with the final outcome of tonight's big story. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Good to look at.
Good to feel.
Good to taste.
And good to smoke.
Yes, Pall Malls are good, 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 and good.
Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes.
Good to look at, good to feel, good to taste, and good to smoke. Four notes that are alike, and one that is outstanding. And of America's leading cigarettes, one is outstanding. Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes. Outstanding.
And they are mild.
Now we read you that telegram from Dorothy Kilgallen of the New York Journal-American.
Boy and girl in tonight's big story were found guilty of murder but received relatively light sentences on account of their youth. Boy was later paroled from state prison on condition that he join some branch of armed forces. Girl was paroled from reformatory after serving 6.5 years. Many thanks for tonight's Pall Mall Award.
Thank you, Miss Kilgallen. The makers of Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes are proud to have named you the winner of the Pall Mall $500 Award for notable service in the field of journalism.
Listen again next week, same time, same station, when Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes will present another big story. A big story from the pages of the Buffalo Evening News. Byline, Eddie DeCastro. A big story that began when a woman was told that her husband had been murdered and laughed.
The
Big Story is produced by Bernard J. Proctor and directed by Harry Ingram, with music by Vladimir Selinsky. Tonight's program was written by Max Ehrlich. Your narrator was Barry Kroger, and Janet Fox play the part of Dorothy Kilgallen. All names in tonight's story, except that of Miss Kilgallen, were fictitious, but the dramatization was based on a true and authentic case. This is Ernest Chappell speaking for the makers of Pall Mall Famous Cigarettes.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, in case you haven't already figured it out, that is the end of the saga of the Bobby Sox Kid from Bayonne, from the October 15th, 1947 episode of The Big Story.
The Bobby Sox Kid story is one that rings true and familiar as a true crime fan. The story is kind of timeless. Young love with parents standing in the way, and parents end up getting murdered. And the young pair end up running. These stories are in the media, maybe not all of the time, but enough to where the story is very common and very familiar. From Gypsy Rose Blanchard to Jennifer Pan. And oftentimes, they include an overbearing parent who's forbidding or limiting freedom or resources. So, this story is very familiar to me. Poor Janet. I mean, her mother, too. Obviously, we always want to feel sorry for the victims. But these kids who end up doing this never end up what they're looking for, which is freedom.
Points are being made. But honestly, I didn't like the story and the fact that she killed her mom, but I did like how it was presented, that she wouldn't say anything to the cops, and it was someone that just came in cool and talked to her like a normal person. And she just divulged everything. So I thought that was really cool how that happened. But yeah, I understand her anger with her mom. But of course, I would never say you should go ahead and just, you know, kill her for not letting you date. That just is weird to me. So, yeah, I'm really sad about that. And she just said it so nonchalantly when she told the reporter about it. And she kind of sounded like a psychopath. So that was really interesting.
Points are being made. But personally, I was very impressed that this reporter, Dorothy Kilgallen, was able to get what the police weren't able to get. Namely, a confession from this girl by using kindness, gentle coaxing, and trying to understand what was going on in the life of this girl at the time. Now, I mentioned that this story was from the early years of Dorothy Kilgallen as a reporter. However, in the present day, you can find audio and video of Dorothy Kilgallen interviewing people and being on panel shows, and you can see that she had a real talent for getting information out of people. But in my opinion, there's a real ethical issue here. I mean, was it ethical for this police detective to basically turn over his investigation to this reporter? Was it ethical for the reporter to do the job of the police for them?
To me, there's a real ethical issue, especially since we are talking about a case involving a very naive and gullible 17-year-old girl.
Points are being made. I definitely don't think it was ethical for Dorothy to conduct such an interview without a policeman present. I know that something like that would definitely not fly in this day and age. However, I find it hard to believe that the grown, gruff policeman in this story would have been able to pull the details from the young girl in this fashion. So, thank goodness she was there? Question mark?
Yeah.
Whew. Well, unfortunately, as much as it would probably be interesting to continue this conversation, it's time to move on to the next segment of our show. However, before we move on, I will quickly mention this isn't the first time, and we doubt it will be the last time, that one of our episodes includes something from the era of old-time radio, whether it's just an excerpt or a complete episode.
And in fact, the times that we have featured things from old-time radio are often among our most popular episodes. So, we will absolutely continue to do that from time to time.
And if any listeners have a suggestion for something from old-time radio that you think might be interesting for our audience, just email us, and we promise to check it out as soon as we can.
And with that having been said, we will move on to our regular segment, Police Blotter and Court News, in which we bring you stories of small-time crooks and other random folks who, for one reason or another, ended up in the machinery of the justice system 100 or more years ago. And this particular segment will be narrated for you exactly as it was written in a column published in the Cleveland Plain Dealer on October 26, 1870, in the words of the anonymous reporter who wrote it. However, before we begin the segment, we will mention two quick things. First, anytime that you hear any amount of money described in this segment, for example, as a fine, please be aware that $1 in 1870 is the equivalent of approximately $20 in the present day.
And just to be clear, when we say that, we are talking about the purchasing power of that dollar compared to the present day. So, if the amount of a fine seems low to you, it isn't.
Now, the next thing that we want you to know is that the stories that you will hear on this Police Blotter and Court News segment are essentially a slice of life from the dark streets and overlooked alleys of everyday life in the mid-19th century. So, on this particular segment, you will hear various mentions of crimes involving theft, prostitution, and some random types of inappropriate behavior in public.
Listeners, if you think that hearing about any of these things might possibly cause you to have a negative emotional reaction, then this segment might not be something that you should listen to.
So, if that is the case, just skip ahead roughly 7 minutes from now, give or take a few minutes, and it will all be over. And for the same reasons, parental discretion is strongly advised for any children who might be nearby, since there are some portions of this segment which young ears probably should not be listening to.
And so, with all that having been said,
Here we go.
Police blotter and court news.
Order, please. Order.
Municipal Court, Cleveland, Ohio, October 26th, 1870. William Bonner and John Mayberry, charged with causing public disturbance. They were each fined $5 and court cost. John Straba, charged with violating the fire ordinance. Straba drove over the hose of a fire engine yesterday, for which he was arrested, tried, and fined $7 and cost. Delphine Davis, charged with being a common prostitute. Delphine was sentenced to the workhouse for 30 days, but with the fine waived on condition of good behavior during incarceration. Ellen and Samuel Nathan, charged with making obscene motions on a steamboat and using bad language. They were each fined $5 and court cost. Jack Moore, James McGaffney, Henry McGuire, J.B. O'Connor, Thomas Fay, and Ann Reagan, charged with public intoxication. McGaffney, Moore, and McGuire were fined $8 in cost. O'Connor and Fay were fined $4 in cost. Miss Reagan was fined $1 in cost. James Donnelly and George Hartman, charged with lewd behavior. They were each fined $8 and court cost. Daniel Griffin, Peter Goebel, Matthew Lilly, Thomas Hamilton, and William Wagner, charged with vagrancy. They were each fined $1 and cost. Henry O'Brien, charged with obtaining money by false pretense. O'Brien was arrested on the charge of confidencing a man out of $50. He did not appear for trial, and a warrant was ordered to be issued for his capture.
This court stands adjourned.
And that brings us to the end of the police blotter and court news from October 26th, 1870. We hope that this short visit to some of the dim, dusty, and rowdy side streets of yesteryear was an interesting and educational experience for you. But before we move on, we would like to express our deepest thanks to our guest narrator and our guest voices on the police blotter segment. So, please take a bow and tell our listeners anything that you might want to say about yourselves.
Hi, my name is Tia, and I'm a freelance voice artist. If you enjoyed my voice and are looking for help on your next audio project, feel free to reach out to me by email at letherspeak@yahoo.com. That's letherspeak@yahoo.com.
This is Valerie Moss from Valerie's Variety Podcast and What Makes You Tick.
Hi, this is Jerry Kokich. I'm a voice actor and I'm always working on my craft. I've done a little bit of everything, and sometimes I forget which is my real voice because, yep, sometimes I'm one voice and sometimes I'm another.
You know, I can't even remember how old I am sometimes.
If you be wanting to contact me, my email address is jerrykokich@yahoo.com. Y'all take care of yourselves now.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for being part of the police blotter.
Listeners, we would very much like to be able to tell police blotter stories from the 19th century newspapers of your city or town.
So, If you have the time and ability, just send one to us by email, and we promise to use it as soon as we can. The address is forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
Next, we will now move on to our recommendations and advice segment. Jim, Kit Karen, and I will each take a few moments to mention something that we think our listeners might be interested in hearing about.
It might be a book, a movie, a TV show, a podcast, an app, a game, a food, a recipe, a product, a life hack, or who knows? It will always be something different. By the way, we want our listeners to know that we do not synchronize or discuss our comments or suggestions in regard to this segment before we record. That way, it's always a surprise for the listeners and for us.
This week, Jim will go first, then Kit, and finally, me, Jessica.
My recommendation for this episode is the movie We Have Always Lived in the Castle. This movie is based on a book by Shirley Jackson, which I will admit I have not read. The book was published in 1962. She passed away 3 years later. The movie version was released in 2018, and it has been available on Netflix for, I think, a year or maybe two, maybe more. I'm not sure. I saw it a few days ago, and I really liked it. The movie is about an eccentric family that lives in a big house that's hated by the town. And you slowly find out why and what's going on. There is humor and drama. The acting is great, and the house is awesome, and if you live there, you wouldn't want to leave either. So, my recommendation is the movie We Have Always Lived in the Castle. And I don't know what else to say, except go check it out.
On this episode, I've decided to recommend The Goldbergs, which is a show on ABC, it's a half-hour comedy. It's a show that's largely based on the series creator Adam F. Goldberg's family. It's just really funny. It tells how Adam like loves the camera, and it takes place in the 1980s. And honestly, it kind of makes me remember my childhood in a lot of ways, because my dad was the type of person that always followed us around with a camera. And so that having your life on videotape is something that I'm familiar with. But it's just the whole show is really funny. It's your typical 80s family solving problems with family values, yelling, and disregard for political correctness. And they do so in a comical way that is not, I don't know, I have never found any part offensive. And I think that I really wanted to recommend this show because of the recent passing of one of the cast members, George Segal. He played the grandfather, and he was absolutely fantastic, and he passed recently. And it was just sad. So yeah, that's my recommendation. Check it out. It's on Hulu.
My recommendation this week is a true crime podcast. Not your usual true crime podcast. It kind of gives us a break from the usual doom and gloom. This podcast is called Excuse Me, That's Illegal, hosted by Leroy Luna. Garden gnome theft and unauthorized scooter joyrides are some of the crimes that are covered in this lighthearted, chuckle-heavy podcast. So stop by, have a laugh, and take a break from the usual doom and gloom of your normal true crime.
And that is the end of the recommendation and advice segment for this episode.
But listeners, if you have a suggestion for something that you would like us to mention on this segment, just send us an email. And if it's a good recommendation, we'll pass it along to our audience. And thank you in advance for doing that.
Now, moving along, we will once again ask you, our lovely listeners, to take a moment when this episode is over and head over to Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes, and rate, review, and subscribe to the Forgotten News podcast.
But 5-star reviews only, please, because it definitely helps to bring new listeners and gives us a bump in the rankings.
And listeners, we mean that. We aren't kidding. 5 stars only.
Next, if you have any thoughts or opinions about this episode or any prior episode or any suggestions about the show, just send an email to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com. We always like hearing from our listeners.
We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Just type Forgotten News Podcast in the search box and you'll find us. It's that easy.
Also, listeners, in case you don't already know, you can contact and talk to me on Twitter at @KickKaren, which is spelled the little at sign, KITCAREN. You can tweet at me or send me a DM with any thoughts that you might want to share with me. And I truly hope that you will. I promise to reply. However, in addition to that, I want to mention that there is a new episode of my other podcast, Whispered True Stories, of which I am the host. It is a fun podcast. Not really fun, because it's still true crime, but spoken entirely in whisper. So if you enjoy that type of thing, you should definitely check it out. The latest episode features one of the most bizarre true crime murder stories that you've never heard before. Even though it only happened just a few years ago. You can hear all about how an unsupervised teenage house party led to the murder and suicide of 2 teen girls. But I probably should also tell you that the new episode is available only through Patreon or by a $3 contribution on PayPal. However, you can listen to a free preview of the episode by going to any podcast listening app or platform and looking up the Whispered True Stories podcast. The preview is the latest thing that is listed. And by listening to the preview, you can decide if you want to hear the full story. So, listeners, here is your chance to show me a little love and all you need to do is click on Whispered True Stories and check it out.
Please.
And thanks in advance for doing that.
And listeners,
if you'd like to contact and chat with me about anything at all, you can reach me at XOXOJessicaXOXO on all social media platforms. And just like the lovely Kit Karen, I also host another podcast. It's called Motormouth Radio, and you can find it on probably every podcast app or platform in the universe. I write short stories inspired by some of the music that I love. I have a new episode called Adrian's Song, inspired by Crazy for You by Madonna. So stop on by and have a listen.
And at this point, I hate to say it, but I'm a little lost. So what's next?
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Yes, absolutely nothing, because it's time to wrap it up. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Wait, I have another thing that I want to say. Here at the Forgotten News Podcast, we care about the health and safety of our listeners. So, listen closely. Wear a mask, wash your hands, avoid large gatherings, stay 6 feet away from anyone you don't live with, and if a COVID vaccine is available in your community, and if you're eligible, just make an appointment and go get that shot. Preferably as soon as you finish listening to this episode. Honestly, we don't want to lose any listeners to COVID-19. So, I better not hear that you had a chance to get the shot and you didn't. Because then I will be super mad at you.
Grr.
So, you definitely don't want that.
Stay safe and you'll stay alive.
Bye, listeners. And remember, history is no mystery.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
Justice is like a big rug. When you pull it out from under one person, a lot of others will fall too. This episode was recorded before a live audience of
us.
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, that's it. Bye.